Good evening. We are in Luke chapter 7 this evening. Luke 7, you'll find that on page 1036. If you're joining us, please put a hand in the air. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, please feel no embarrassment in doing that. It's important to have the Bible open in front of us. Luke chapter 7. And as we read, given all that Johnny said as we've started this evening, I want you to look out for this woman of faith, okay? That's what she is. She's a woman who takes God at his word, who takes the Lord Jesus at his word. So let's spot that word faith as we read together. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is God's word to us this evening. Sit down. What a glorious truth and that is. Please open your Bibles again to Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Luke 7, verse 36. And once that's open in front of us, let's pray and seek God's help together as we look at this story. Father, the Bible says of itself, you say of the scriptures that they are written to teach us, that they are written to give us endurance and to put courage into us so that we might have hope of all that is to come. And we ask, Father, tonight that this story of this woman and this Pharisee and these loving actions of Jesus will give us endurance and encouragement this week, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start with a little game. I know that's probably a bit kind of out of order for church, but here it is. I want you to tell me how you would spot certain people. So you can participate if you like. So how would you spot someone who loves football? T-shirt. So they might wear something that gives them away, right? Other things? What's that? Football scarf, yeah, football scarf. Maybe they're constantly getting their phone out, checking the scores if there's a game going on during church. You know, it's that subtle kind of look down there, see what's going on. Maybe the teenagers are sitting there with a little earphone coming up their sleeve and kind of listening into the game. So, yeah, or, you know, if you spend time with them, maybe that's what they talk about. Maybe you'd see them because they love going off to play. What about someone who loves music? Let's pick somebody else. Somebody who loves music. How would you tell? Jesse, what's that? Headphones. They're probably permanently adorned with a pair of headphones. They seem to be getting bigger and bigger these days, headphones. So that something out here, you'd know they really loved music. Isn't that right, Armel? Yeah. How else would you spot someone who loves music? They go to concerts. They spend their time and their money going to investigate kind of good bands and to enjoy the music that's out there. Now, here's why I ask you those questions, okay? Because it's rooted, I hope you'll see, in what's going on in this story. How do you spot somebody who is forgiven by their faith in Jesus? What gives them away? You know, you can spot somebody who loves their football. You can spot someone who loves the music. But how do you spot somebody who is forgiven because they've put their faith in Jesus? And actually, there's probably loads of ways that we could answer that question. But this story that we've got in front of us tonight gives us a particular way to answer that question. There is a particular thing going on in this story. And what I want to do this evening is zoom our attention in on this woman. This woman, because she is someone who is forgiven by putting her faith in the Lord Jesus. And she paints for us this evening this portrait of what gives away someone who grasps just how much, how precious it is to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus. You see, just look at verse 48. This is a declaration of Jesus, okay? He is declaring what is true about this woman. He says to her, "Your sins are forgiven." That is what this woman is. She is a forgiven woman. You see, actually, we're going to see a lot about this woman, I hope, this evening. But as an introduction to her, she's a woman who we're told has lived a sinful life. And as we see her in this story, she comes to Jesus weeping, but she leaves Jesus with peace. We see that she's a woman who has, verse 50, put her faith in Jesus. She totally trusts that this man, Jesus, this God-man Jesus, is the one who can forgive all the things that she's done wrong, this sinful life, which isn't spelt out in detail, but she clearly trusts that Jesus is the one who can forgive her. And actually, this story, a wonderful story, like many of the stories in Luke, elevates to us just the authority of Jesus to forgive sins. We could spend our evening there. We could just simply dwell on the fact that Jesus is the one who has authority to forgive sins because he's heading to the cross. But actually, what I'd like to do in parallel with that really is just zoom our attention in on this woman and look at what a portrait of a forgiven person is like in the hope that we can kind of marry ourselves alongside it and see how we are doing, as it were, when it comes to giving away whether we really are forgiven people. So how do you spot someone who's been forgiven by their faith? Well, first of all, this. There's someone who weeps over their sins. And the story opens with Jesus being invited to the house of a Pharisee for dinner. It's a very nice gesture. It's probably a very pleasant affair. The friends had been gathered, that the dinner was being served. But then look at verse 37 to 38. There's that kind of awkward moment. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, someone she's already heard about, obviously, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume and she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Now, I just want you to try and live these stories. Sometimes we read these stories and just kind of stream over them like this is normal. Just imagine that you'd put on a dinner party, and then in walks to this dinner party the most promiscuous person in the town, and she just wants to hang out. You'd be a little bit like, what's going on? There's this awkwardness. Can you imagine the looks as she walks into the room? Can you imagine the frowns that she received? We're told in the story that she had lived a sinful life. Now, that's not spelled out for us. Maybe she was a prostitute. Maybe, maybe she just lived a life that was notorious for being sinful. But whatever it is, she's got a reputation. She's known in the town because of the things that she's done, and she is excluded, and she's frowned upon, and people are probably shuffling away a little bit as she comes into the room. But as she arrives, she stands at the feet of Jesus, and she weeps. She weeps over her sin. She weeps over this life that she has lived, which has been turned away from God rather than turned to God. She's broken. And the inner emotion of feeling that she's done something against God bubbles out into tears. As she comes into the presence and perfection of Jesus, this one that she's heard about, this friend of tax collectors and sinners, sinful women like her who are frowned on by everyone else, but not by Jesus. She comes into his presence, she weeps. She weeps over her sin, she feels it. She weeps over the life she's lived. See, she weeps at the offense of her sin. Right in the heart of our story, Jesus tells this story about people with debts. And that story alone just helps us to understand something about what sin is. It is debt before God. It is offense to God. And this woman knows that her choices in life, the things that she's picked to do and the things that she's picked not to do, have put her into huge debt with God. And it's a debt that she knows she can never repay. She weeps over the offense of her sin before God. And she doesn't just weep over the offense of her sin, but I think we see her here, just by the way the story's told, weeping over the size of her sin. She's lived a life of sin, not just kind of the little thing, you know, that we might say, oh, you know, that's just nothing. But she's lived a life of sin, a sinful life where everybody knows it's public sin. It's on display, and she's frowned on by people. Even Simon the Pharisee's words give that away, don't they? If you knew what kind of woman she was. She weeps. Years and years, perhaps, of God-denying behavior. And she weeps. Memory after memory, perhaps as she stands there, comes to mind. And it causes her to weep. This woman is forgiven by Jesus. Jesus declares that over her at the end. Forgiven, yes. But weeping and broken over her sin, yes. And this is one of the ways that forgiveness, grasping that you're a forgiven person, actually begins to show itself, even today. A forgiven person is somebody who has developed, by the grace of God, a sensitivity to sin. It's no laughable matter. It's worthy to be wept over. And as forgiven people, we will know this. If you're someone here this evening with faith in our Lord Jesus, you will know that we are in a battle with sin, our sinful natures, those habits of the past that are hard to break. And we are in a battle where memories of past sins just pop up into our head and challenges us, and where we continue to battle with sin today. And people looking in faith to Jesus, you can spot them if you get close enough. Because they've got this sensitivity to things that offend God. A Christian can and should weep over our waywardness, past, present, and even future. I want to ask you this evening, does your sin, genuinely, I know there's a church answer to give, but genuinely, does your sin, your offenses against God, cause you to weep? Perhaps physical tears, perhaps that inner anguish, perhaps that just that sometimes those moments of just being ashamed to lift your eyes to heaven and pray because you know you've done something wrong again. Here's a forgiven woman. That's what Jesus says about her. That's who she is because of her faith. But she humbles herself and she puts herself at the feet of Jesus and she weeps afresh over her sin. Could that be said of you? Could that be said of me if you spent time with me in my life? Becoming a Christian begins with weeping over sin. That's where it begins, with seeing that you're someone with a debt that you cannot repay. But living as a Christian goes on with a sensitivity and weeping over the things that we do wrong. It's offense. It's sighs. Your sin is like a debt, and the Christian has a sensitivity to that. Are you like the woman in this story? Or, and here's the contrast in the story, are you more like Simon the Pharisee? See, just look with me at verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to him, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." You see, here is a man who can see very clearly somebody else's sin, but he doesn't see his own. He does not see that he has a debt as well as this woman. What a contrast to the woman, isn't it? She walks into the presence of Jesus and she weeps over her sin. He sits in the company of Jesus and he sits self-righteously over someone who's lived a much worse life than him. And even the most well-behaved of us, however you would class yourself, we have debt before God. And Simon has no faith in Jesus, does he? Even his words give that away. You know, if this man knew who was touching him, he doubts Jesus. He doubts who Jesus is. He's not sitting there in awe of Jesus. He's sitting there, well, who does this guy think he is? There's no weeping for his own sin. And these are signs. If you are sitting here this evening and you're far more easily spotting sins in somebody else and weeping over the sins out there rather than in the sins in here, then maybe that's just a sign that we've lost sight of forgiveness in our Lord Jesus. If this behavior is creeping into you as a Christian, that you are not weeping, you're a bit more like Simon than this woman, easily spotting other people's sins, but not your own, then we should pray tonight that the Lord returns to us, or even for the first time gives to us a sensitivity to our own sin, not just that ability to spot it in others. Pray for a heart that weeps. Pray for a portion of this woman's spirit, this woman of faith. So first of all, how do you spot someone forgiven by faith in Jesus? Well, they weep. They weep over sin. There's a sensitivity to sin. But second, they show great love for Jesus. Just come back with me to the story and just the actions of this woman. So here we are in this kind of dinner hall or dinner room or whatever it might have been, and they're reclining around the table. And here is a woman weeping, but who Jesus says shows great love for him. Here is a woman who has received huge forgiveness, a life of a catalogue of sinful things, but she now pours it out in big love for Jesus. Her huge debt has been cancelled. Jesus, as he journeys through Luke's gospel, is heading to the cross where he will pay for this woman's sins. And she has received a big cancellation of those debts. And this woman's big forgiveness shows itself in a big love for Jesus. Just look at verse 47. "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." That's what Jesus sees. He sees her loving much. Now, we probably just need to kind of iron this out a little bit, because some of us are probably thinking, well, she's loved Jesus, and therefore he's forgiven her. But that's not how it reads here. And you've got to notice that forgiveness doesn't come because she showed this kind of love, but actually the forgiveness comes first, and that's why she loves. In fact, the new version of the NIV and some old translations actually kind of make it really clear. So in the newer version of the NIV, it actually says here, she's loved much, she's forgiven much, as her love has shown. She loves because she's been forgiven. In the New Testament, it says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." It is this love that we see in action in this woman, a love that responds to the forgiveness that she's received because she puts her faith in Jesus. You see, look at Jesus' question at the end of verse 41. Sorry, 42, I think. "Now which of them will love him more?" Which of the people with debts cancelled will love him more? You see, Jesus, as he drills into Simon and his bad attitude, wants Simon to see that this woman's extravagant love, this pouring of perfume, this weeping with her tears, this wiping the hair, it's an act of love because she realizes she's been forgiven so much. She grasps the size of her forgiveness. She grasps the bigness of the debt that has been cancelled. She grasps what it costs for her to be forgiven. See, out of love for the one who has loved her, she does all this stuff that we read in the story. Now, we might be sitting here thinking, well, this doesn't sound like very big love. You know, it doesn't sound like big love to kind of cry at someone's feet and then wipe the hair. But listen to Jesus, you see. Look what he says, verse 44. He turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." You see, Jesus spells out for us that she is loving Jesus. She is being extravagant in her love of the Lord Jesus. And she uses her treasures. This alabaster jar of perfume is a very expensive thing in her time. This was probably a very precious thing in her life. And she just brings it to Jesus and she pours it out on him. She shows love for Jesus by washing his feet, by serving him, by doing the job that only the lowest of people would do. She just humbles herself before Jesus. And she's shameless. You know, it takes a bit of guts, doesn't it, to walk into a room of people you don't know, people who are going to frown on you, and just get down and do all this anyway, even though there's people probably yabbering away. She's just shameless in this love that she has for Jesus. And there's no mistaking it in this story. She doesn't care about what others think. She doesn't care how low the job. She just loves Jesus because Jesus has loved her. She loves Jesus because Jesus has forgiven her. She loves Jesus because Jesus has welcomed her where no one else would. And it spills out into her actions and it gives her away as a forgiven person. You see, is verse 47 something that Jesus could say about you? "Therefore I tell you, his many sins have been forgiven, for you have loved much." Does your forgiveness show itself in great love for Jesus? Sure, it will look different. Not many of us will stand at someone's feet weeping and drying it with our hair. Some of us don't have enough hair to do that with. But actually, will we show extravagant love for Jesus because of the extravagant love he's shown for us? Using our time, our treasures, to serve Jesus and to love him. You know, one of the things that really struck me as I read the story this week afresh is that actually this woman loves Jesus' body. She pours out her love onto his body. And actually that's a very similar thing that we do today. If we love Jesus, you love his body. And what is his body? The church. You can't love the head and hate the body. You serve Jesus, the one who loved us and came into this world, by serving his body, the church, by humbling yourself, by pouring out your love and your extravagance on his people. That's how we show love for Jesus. Does your forgiveness that he's lavished upon you, forgiving of your sins, show itself in love for Jesus by caring for his reputation? Does it grate when somebody says something about Jesus? Does it show in your gratitude and the heart you have, the worship that you give? Is it a life devoted to pleasing Jesus? That's the giveaway of someone who's been forgiven. Would others spot that in you or in me? When we take our eyes off forgiveness, when we take our eyes off what the Lord Jesus, when we take our eyes off the cross, there is a danger that we act more like Simon than we do like this woman. So you look at verse 47. Jesus says at the very end of that verse, "But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Now, I think this is a perception thing. If you sit there in life and you think, "Oh, well, you know, Jesus hasn't done that much for me because I didn't do that much wrong," then you're not going to love him very much. That's the point. This is not a story that's meant to help us build a theology of whether some sins are worse than others and whether people have bigger debts than others. Actually, this is a story about everyone needing forgiveness. And Jesus contrasts, you see, the cold and disrespectful actions of Simon with the loving actions of this woman. Simon, I would say, is someone who does the bare minimum for Jesus. But this woman does the maximum. Her love overflows for him. Whilst the woman goes absolutely over the top, Simon does just what he has to. And if you're more like Simon, doing the bare minimum for Jesus, bare minimum because, oh, Jesus has forgiven me and I'm going to do this, then maybe, just maybe tonight, you have lost sight of how much it is that Jesus has done for you, how big a debt he has cancelled as he went to the cross. If that's where you are this evening, then you need to get your eyes back on the cross of Jesus. You need to get your eyes on this moment in history where we begin to grasp just how much it cost for us to be forgiven, for our debts before God to be cancelled. Pray for a renewed sense of that love. You see, if you were to walk out of church tonight and think, oh, Nathan just wants me to go home and show more extravagant love for Jesus, then you've missed the point. Actually, the thing you've got to work on is go home and pray that God gives you a deeper sense of what Jesus has done for us. And out of that flows an extravagant love for Jesus. It's not just putting on a show. This woman's not putting on a show. It's her forgiveness bubbling over. Those who think they've been forgiven little, well, don't love very much. They don't be extravagant in their love for Jesus. But those who know forgiveness love much. So you still with me? People forgiven by Jesus, they give themselves away because they weep over sin. They show great love for Jesus. But here's the third thing. They have peace. They have peace. Here is a woman. It's a wonderful story. I love this story. It's a woman, she comes weeping. You notice that? That's the first thing we read about her. She comes into the house, she weeps at his feet. But how does she leave? Verse 50, she leaves in peace. Jesus says literally to her, go into peace. As she comes broken over the sins of her life, and as she expresses this great love for Jesus, the one who forgives her, what does she leave with? She brings all this, as it were, to the table. What does she go home with? She goes home with peace. And what does that mean? Because that sounds a bit kind of 1960s kind of hippie stuff, doesn't it? Peace, man. She goes home with peace. But actually, just look at verse 48 with me. Jesus says to her, your sins are forgiven. She goes home with assurance that her debt has been cancelled. It's a wonderful picture. Gentle words of Jesus. When Simon's kind of nagging away at this woman in her thoughts, when people are probably frowning on her, Jesus speaks these gentle words of assurance. Your sins are forgiven. How many of us have memories of old sins that plague us, that show themselves again and again, that challenge us to think, well, am I really forgiven by Jesus? How many of us perhaps are weeping over current sins, thinking, well, I've blown it, and surely Jesus is done with me now. But in those moments, forgiven people, as they come to Jesus and as they weep over their sin, often experience the gentle voice of Jesus declaring over those with faith in him, your sins are forgiven. Fact. They know assurance for forgiveness. And they leave with peace. And that peace, if I can kind of break it in half, as it were, and kind of just talk about the two halves of peace, that first of all means peace as a fact. It's peace with God. Our sin makes us an enemy of God, but in the Lord Jesus, we are forgiven and the debt is cancelled, and peace with God is a fact. There is nothing that stands in the way of your relationship with God now. And we are assured that our relationship with God is good because we're forgiven. It's a fact. But the other half, which I think sometimes we don't talk about very much as Christians, is that we have an inner peace. a peace that we're forgiven, a feeling that we're forgiven. You see, peace is this assurance that it is well with my soul. We often sing about it, don't we? When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of my guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sins. That's peace. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to that cross, and I bear it no more. That is peace. It is well with my soul. I think we're going to sing that at the end today. It is well with my soul. That is peace. And that is the peace that Jesus often gives to those who come to him weeping over their sin, who come to him in faith, and they leave assured that they're forgiven. How do you spot a forgiven person? Because they weep, because they show great love for Jesus, but they also have a peace that their sins are forgiven. And this woman throws herself upon Jesus. She weeps over her sin. But it's a lovely thing that she leaves that room assured that her faith in Jesus means she's forgiven. Can I say to you this evening, is that you? Do you sit here this evening as someone who has peace? Peace with God? Fact, because your faith is in Jesus. Peace inside that your sins are forgiven. Do you know that assurance and that peace? Have you experienced what it means to come to Jesus weeping and to leave with him saying over you, your sins are forgiven? Can I tell you that that is the ongoing cycle and experience of the Christian? We come, we weep. We show our love for Jesus, and we leave his presence, his company, not that that's possible, but in the pictorial sense. And he says to us, your sins are forgiven. And maybe this evening you've never known that peace. You know, maybe you sit here and you think, I'm deeply aware I've got a big debt, but I've never known that peace. Well, like this woman, you can come to Jesus, you can put your faith in him. And you can hear him say those words to you, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So how do you spot a forgiven person? You can spot a football player person. You can spot a music person. How do you spot a forgiven person? Well, they weep over their sin. They show great love for Jesus. And they have peace, an inner peace and a factual peace with God. May Jesus help us to be those kind of people this week. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for this story. We thank you for the gentleness of Jesus with this broken and sinful woman. And Father, we ask, please, that you would give us a portion of her spirit that sees how big a love you've shown to us in Jesus, how big a debt of ours you have cancelled. And that in turn, Father, we will just be extravagant in our love for Jesus because of the love that he's shown to us. Father, where there are those of us today that are struggling with the memories of sins, where there are those of us who are struggling with guilt of current sins, please would you help us to come to Jesus weeping and to receive that assurance that he forgives us as we come to him. And we ask it, please, in his name. Amen.